Few subjects have rocketed into the public's consciousness and onto court dockets and legislative agendas as fast as same-sex marriage. The issue wasn't really on anyone's radar when I first showed up as a reporter at the State House 25 years ago. Now seems to be sparking vigorous debate everywhere you turn. In Indiana, opponents and supporters of same-sex marriage are fighting, as they have been for almost a decade now, over an attempt to amend the state's constitution to ban anything other than marriage between one man and one woman. In a moment, we'll sit down with several people from the front lines of that battle. First, though, a legislative update from Leslie Weidenbender of thestatehousefile.com, a service of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism.
Just 2 years ago, an Indiana constitutional amendment to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman seemed like a sure thing. But now a poll shows that Hoosiers don't think an amendment is necessary, and the U.S. Supreme Court plans to weigh in on the issue. Key business leaders are speaking out about it, too. Eli Lilly and Company's Rob Smith says the amendment would make it harder to recruit top workers.
We've been working respectfully and constructively with leaders of the General Assembly, and we think it would be wise, and we've been asking them to set aside this amendment, which we think is counterproductive and highly divisive.
30 states have a constitutional amendment defining marriage. 8 more, including Indiana, ban same-sex marriage only by state law. But recently, 9 states have legalized gay marriage, and more permit civil unions. Republican Senator Brant Hirschman of Buck Creek says legislative leaders will decide soon whether to take up the amendment in Indiana this year or next.
At the end of the day, that public opinion is going to be expressed at the ballot box. The amendment could succeed. The amendment could fail based upon those changing public interests. I think the important thing is that it will ultimately be a public decision.
3 lawmakers have introduced marriage amendments. None have been scheduled for hearings. For Indiana lawmakers and thestatehousefile.com, I'm Leslie Weidenbender.
Back in a moment with a look at how morality, money, and majority rule politics are shaping the debate over same-sex marriage here in Indiana. From the State House to your house.
Purdue Research Park. 4 locations, 200 companies, 4,000 jobs. Purdue Research Park. The idea economy is here.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. This week we learned that Jim Nabors, TV's Gomer Pyle in the 1960s, and a fixture at the Indianapolis 500-mile race for more than 4 decades, recently traveled from his Honolulu home to Seattle to marry his male partner of 38 years. Although Nabors has made a career out of singing Back Home Again in Indiana, a return to the Hoosier State wouldn't have done him any good in this instance. Unlike Washington State, Indiana doesn't allow same-sex marriage. Never has, certainly not since 1997, when the General Assembly passed a law defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. For almost 10 years now, some Indiana lawmakers have been pushing to write the same-sex marriage ban into the state's constitution. 2 years ago, both legislative chambers approved a resolution calling for such an amendment, and if lawmakers reaffirm that position this session or next, their proposal will be put to Hoosier voters in 2014. Joining me to discuss the issue are Kurt Smith, journalist turned congressional staffer, who now serves as president of the Indiana Family Institute, 24-year-old public policy group that advocates traditional heterosexual marriage, the Reverend Marie Soroki, an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ and president of the Interfaith Coalition on Non-Discrimination, which has called on Hoosier lawmakers to abandon the push for a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, former Indiana House member Cindy Noe, a Republican who represented Indianapolis's North Side from 2002 to 2012, and for a time chaired the House Committee on Family, Children, and Human Affairs, and Carol Casto, Executive Director of Corporate Communications for Cummins Incorporated, a global heavy equipment manufacturer based in Columbus, Indiana, and an outspoken opponent of restrictions on same-sex marriage. And I thank you all for joining us for this conversation. As they say, ripped from the headlines. Yeah. Just pluck these from the past week. A number of major companies, including Aetna, eBay, and Marriott, announced the formation of a national business coalition to advocate marriage equality. A high-profile linebacker with the Baltimore Ravens used Super Bowl week, of course, as a platform to promote gay rights. The French government, I saw this week, announced that it was going to make a push for what it described as universal marriage rights. And for those who discount all things French, closer to home, Bloomington Mayor Marc Cruzan, a former state rep himself, planned to preside over a same-sex marriage ceremony as part of a celebration of Gay Pride Week. Kurt Smith, are you swimming upstream?
No, we're very much in the mainstream of Hoosier and American values. Hoosiers understand there's something unique and special about marriage. It's still the pathway to get most of our new citizens, we call them babies, and that protection in the law that we've had for hundreds of years is still deserved. It's been affirmed by 31 or two states. Our own legislature has taken several years to give it that special status in law, and we just think there's a unique state interest in promoting marriage and preserving that family structure to raise the next generation.
Well, how do you explain, though, this was just a week? I mean, a Google search produces any number of things. I probably could do that the week before, the week after.
And there are other Google searches you could do where states are affirming these amendments. 31 or two have now passed them into state constitutions. Notice Jim Nabors had to leave Hawaii, one of the most liberal states in our union. They have a statute defining marriage as one man, one woman.
So these are a little too selective, you might
well,
say.
Well, it may be, you know, it's up and down and all around. But over the hundreds of years, and that's the perspective public policy tries to take, this has been the tried and true method in all cultures, all times, all faiths.
Of course, the problem with looking back 100 years is it doesn't necessarily reflect how rapidly opinion has changed seemingly on this topic. If you look at polls nationally, Pew numbers show about 53%, I think, favor now. Recognition of gay marriage. Indiana, the Bowen Center at Ball State, prior to the session, revealed that I think it was 45 split on same-sex marriage, 45 for, 45% against, but a majority of Hoosiers actually opposed enshrining that in the Constitution. How do you read the public opinion, Marie Soroki?
Well, I read a little differently. In that I don't look at it as protecting family values. I think we need to value all families in Indiana. And I think there's a number of families in Indiana that are same-sex households, that are same-sex couples and single couples as well. I also think that when the argument comes up a lot, it gets to the basis of religion and how we got to this one man, one woman. And I think if you look, which is not known, if you look, there are so many denominations that do affirm same-sex marriage and do preside over same-sex marriage and do bless same-sex marriage. And it's not a small group. It's United Church of Christ, Unitarian Universalist, Evangelical Lutherans, Metropolitan Community Churches, Reformed, Conservative, Reformation Judaism, and then you have Presbyterians and Episcopals and so many others that bless the union. So it's not this, where does the one man, one woman come from? Sometimes people trace it back to scripture. And if we're talking about religion or we're talking about Hoosier values, there are many Hoosiers and many, many faiths. And I think that's what we have to respect.
Let me touch on that. I do want to pull everybody else
sure,
in here, but
I'm
you're
fine.
An ordained minister. Kurt Smith, if I'm not mistaken, you're studying.
I have a master's in theology.
You have a master's in theology. So you both, at the risk of being flippant, have God on your side. How can this, you both be right?
Well, I've read the Bible through many, many times, studied it for years at the graduate level. It does not say that the public policy should be one man, one woman. The New Testament and the Old Testament actually don't say the preferred model for marriage is one man, one woman. New Testament, the Christian scriptures, as opposed to the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures, says church leaders should be the husband of one wife. That implies a male leader in a church setting. So our position on marriage is not rooted in the Bible, believe it or not.
So you don't, okay.
There was a huge fight bringing Utah into the Union, and there's all kinds of public policy debates in the late 1800s, and before they could come into the Union, Congress required them to pass a constitution for their state that affirmed one man and one marriage because of the polygamy practice in one Christian sect or denomination known as Mormonism.
But you're willing to take religion off the table, at least for the sake of this discussion. Again, one more thing. Believe me, we're going to have a four-person discussion. You've been in a relationship, a same-sex relationship, mm-hmm. for 23 years.
Right.
You have the same last name, I believe.
Yes, my wife took my last name.
So
we were legally
you...
married in Iowa.
Okay,
and
that
for
was
us,
my next question.
For us, marriage is a sacrament. It's a holy union. We wanted to be married in our denomination. Iowa was, well, I think, the seventh state to affirm same-sex marriage. And so we eloped to Iowa and got married in Iowa. I do appreciate what you were saying about religion and not bring it into the discussion, but it is in the discussion as when you get into rights, because there are so many civil rights attached to marriage. So even though my wife and I are married, there are so many rights here in Indiana that we do not have access to. So then you're into discrimination. So
because
there's no
Indiana
freedom.
Does not recognize,
right,
under
they don't
existing
recognize
statute,
us.
The fact that you are, have a,
right.
a recognized marriage relationship in at least
they
the state of Iowa.
They do not recognize us.
All right, Cindy Noe.
Yes, sir.
You were in the state house uh-huh. during the period when this really came to the forefront. I think maybe Senator Brant Hirschman was one of the first in 2004 to propose a resolution that would set the stage for amending the Constitution. It was a lot of Republicans at the time, your colleagues championed that. Brian Bosma said it's one of the most critical things we can do for public policy. Now, here we are. No, he says it's not necessarily a priority. David Long, his Senate counterpart, says it's not necessarily a priority. I should point out that we invited, since the name is Indiana Lawmakers of this show, and nobody really wanted to come on and talk about this this issue for or against. So I credit you as a former state rep for coming on and talking about it. Why the change, the sea change from somebody saying this is critical public policy not that long ago, 9 years to go saying we don't want to touch it, it's a hot potato?
Well, I think first of all you have to recognize this is a long session and there are plenty of places that this issue can interplay within the course of this session. But no, I think you will find that the sentiment is very much the same to get this vote to the voters. There are two cases out there that are currently working their way through the legal system. And I think some of the discussion surrounds the fact, should we wait until these are decided, because they're going to be decided shortly, or should we go ahead? And I think that maybe is more the point of discussion. My thinking would be that we need to move ahead now, irregardless of what's happening in other places in the court system, because Indiana is a sovereign body. And I am a proponent of states' rights, and I believe that the states, you know, as Marie said, she went to Iowa, you know, the states, they should be first in line to have a say as to how this issue plays out in their state with their particular constituents.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but if the General Assembly passed this as they required, mm-hmm. the two successive independently elected General Assemblies, would not, and then it's nullified by the Supreme Court, which is expected, I think, to rule maybe in June, wouldn't that still go on the ballot in a referendum in 2014? Potentially, some would say exposing Indiana to ridicule is saying, you know, why are you doing this a year after it was nullified effectively? Is that a concern?
You know, there are a couple of viewpoints to that. Number one, I don't think you want to assume that the courts are going to rule in a way that would nullify those state constitutions. We're doing nothing more, if we pursue this, than joining in excess of 30 states who have already said, our name's on the dotted line, this is the position that we want to stake and fight for. And I think that's probably a pretty good place for Indiana to be.
Carol Casto, I appreciate your patience as we work our way here to your thoughts. You represent a very large company, Fortune 500 company, 46,000 employees, publicly traded. You answer to shareholders, you answer to employees. Clearly, you've thought about this, your organization, and have decided that this is the right side to be on, the notion that you want to oppose this amendment and instead advocate universal marriage rights. Why is it so important to Cummins Engine Company or to some of its corporate counterparts, such as I think in the past Eli Lilly and Company, WellPoint, others have been supportive of the same issue?
Right. Thanks, John. For Cummins, as you may know, we have a rich history, certainly in the civil rights movement, and we view legislation like this as a modern day assault on civil rights. And you know, for us, it's simply bad for business. Legislation like this is really bad for business. We have a daily battle for the top talent across the world for our company. And top talent is a diverse pool of candidates. And for us, the ability to recruit and retain individuals who bring diversity of thought, diversity of idea, diversity of skill, diversity of gender, diversity of sexual preference, of cultures, of race, that to us is the success in having a really strong company. And we are really proud of our rich history in diversity, and it continues to be for us a really big part of our culture and our values at Cummins.
You know, if 30 other states, 30 plus other states have similar legal requirements though, not recognizing same-sex marriage, when you talk about competition for talent, aren't those off the table? I mean, you're you're not competing against them anyway if Indiana's in the same boat, I guess. Devil's advocate here. Is it fair to say that we're on an unfair footing with other states across the country?
You know, what we're worried about right now is Indiana. And we have
because that's your headquarters, of course.
That's right. And some of our most skilled, highest compensated, top leaders in our company around the world are right here in Indiana. And we want to stay here in Indiana. And legislation like this puts that at risk.
Republicans, many of your friends and colleagues have said that the main mission of this General Assembly is job creation, job creation, job creation. How do you reconcile job creation, job creation, job creation with
this amendment will not affect HR policies or obviously the history of
culture. Are we sure about that? There seems to be a lot of difference about that.
Cummins is busy today advertising help wanted ads in Wisconsin and Kentucky, where the identical language Indiana is considering is already a part of their state constitution, and they're advertising same-sex partner benefits.
So you don't buy the argument that...
We don't. This doesn't speak to the private HR policies of companies. It's just not. We already have a statute. Other states, including California, have this. Plus, the diversity and culture argument, there are those that
California's
will be...
California's is on hold, though, pending the appeal in the
Supreme
Court.
But they have it.
Though, right?
They have it. It's been stayed. So it's the law now, pending the Supreme Court's review, probably late June, July. But, there's a whole cohort of worldwide talent that would be attracted to a traditional place as well. So we think neutrality in that is the position of government for corporations and private sector, but it should be what we perceive as pro-family in the policy from the government.
And Marisa Roque, I saw you shaking your head when you said it doesn't affect policy. I presume you would agree with Carol Casto that this is bad not only for individual liberties, but also for state, is in terms of economic policy.
Well, I think it's bad for business. But I also think when you look at the families, and I'm going to go back to the families and all the faiths, you look at the entire family. You look at the individual, but you also look at the entire family unit. And we have families here in Indiana who's PFLAG, parents and friends of lesbian and gays, whose adult children can't live with them in Indiana because they can't be who they are. They can't love the person they love, and because of amendments like this, which are discriminatory and are intolerant, that they choose to live outside. So they're not coming here to work. They're not coming here to live. They can't worship here. And an amendment like this does affect freedom of religion. There are religions here who cannot fully practice their religion because of amendments as this. You brought up the 30 states that have similar amendments to what we wish to bring to Indiana. There's 9 states now that legalize same-sex marriage. There's another 17 that provide some sort of civil union. So we're over 20 states that in their laws provide some sort of civil liberties and rights. This amendment, the language of this amendment, could affect Cummins, could affect organizations that have same-sex domestic partners. I have benefits through my wife at Lilly. So I disagree strongly that this will not affect people.
Cindy Noe, how do you respond to somebody who's been in a committed relationship for that long? It's recognized in another state. And let me twist the question so it's the most cliched question in this context anybody could ever ask. You're long happily married, right? 2 kids, 13 grandkids?
13 grandkids.
Here's the cliched part of the question. Mm-hmm. One of those grandkids comes to you and says, Grandma, I'm gay. I want to marry my partner, but I want to do it here in Indiana. How do you answer your grandkid? And in the same context, how do you answer Marie Sirocki when she says she doesn't feel as if, I don't want to put words in your mouth, a full citizen of Indiana?
Well, it's not. I can't enjoy my full rights.
Well, I think, first of all, I would do everything within the context of I believe all of my grandchildren, all of children everywhere are really created in the image of God. And just by virtue of that, have a great, great value and worth. As far as your particular question, it needs to be answered at a public policy level, whether I'm talking to my grandchild or anyone else. And for Marie's perspective, you have to say that there has been targeted discrimination, that the characteristic is immutable, unchangeable, and this is what the courts have said, that the characteristic is immutable and unchangeable, and that the proposed group has been unable and powerless to combat that. I mean, that is the bar of how we, what we have to achieve to address it in the way that Marie is suggesting. And the issue of homosexuality does not meet any of those three bars. So from a public...
So you're saying it doesn't matter, homosexuality is not an issue for you at all here?
I would love my grandchildren, regardless. But from a public policy standpoint, you really need to look at it from the perspective, I believe, that I just verbalized.
Back to this notion of the public policy arena, because that's where you're participating, Carol Casto, mm-hmm. and your organization, Cummins Incorporated. What are you prepared to do to make sure it doesn't come to a floor vote, the proposed amendment, this session or in 2014? Because, of course, if it doesn't come up and it's not endorsed again by the separately elected General Assembly, backers like Kurt Smith have to go and start from scratch. Mm-hmm. What are you prepared to do as an organization? I mean, grassroots, public awareness campaigns, advertising, what will we see, how will this be manifested?
You know, John, I don't want to predict the future because we haven't figured all of that out, but what I can tell you is that in Minnesota this year, it did go to a referendum, and it got shot down in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We have about 2,000 employees that work for us in Minnesota. Our power generation business is located there. And I will tell you that we publicly came out and were very active opposing the legislation, and our employees got incredibly active and self-motivated in the social media space. And I envision that we will garner the same sorts of activities, and in Indiana we'll do it in partnership with some of the other larger employers.
All right, I'm getting a wrap cue. So there's so much more to cover here. How can it be that 25 minutes goes that fast? Mm-hmm. I thank you all for being here for this discussion.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
important
thank
public
yes.
policy
thank
issue.
You very much.
Again, my guests have been Kurt Smith, president of the Indiana Family Institute, the Reverend Marie Sirocki, president of the Interfaith Coalition on Non-Discrimination, former state representative Cindy Noe of Indianapolis, and Carol Casto, executive director of corporate communications for Columbus-based Cummins Incorporated. Mass transit in Indiana. Will it finally get on track, or can it still go off the rails? On the next Indiana Lawmakers. And time now for our weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight. Ed, you know, this issue seemed to be on rails when it came out of the General Assembly in 2011. Now it's sort of stuck in the station, to continue the metaphor. What happened?
Well, there are some senators, some representatives on the Republican side who are expressing some reservations. People who have voted for it before have thought a little bit more about it, have listened to some of the economic impact arguments, and I've also listened to some of the new social details here, and there are some people that think that, you know, this doesn't necessarily need to be in the form of a constitutional amendment. It's not the kind of imperative, at least in the minds of the public, that the property tax cuts, which were statutory, needed to be enshrined in the Constitution, as some people thought. So there's a little bit of reluctance, and now we've got the U.S. Supreme Court looking at two cases, one from California that we talked about in the roundtable, and some legislators are saying, well, wait a minute, maybe if the Supreme Court acts, we don't need to act, so let's wait on that. And our Attorney General has weighed in with amicus briefs in both of those cases.
How important is the position of organizations such as Cummins in giving Republicans, and this phrase maybe sound loaded, giving them political cover? Because a lot of their constituents, they say, are supportive of this, but they also have vowed to create jobs. Does this help them justify a wait-and-see attitude or even a no vote, when in fact they might have been supportive in the past?
Absolutely. It does give them an ability to use something other than, you know, a social kind of excuse or rationale for voting for or against this. And that also brings up an interesting point when you look at the polls on this. The Ball State University poll that was revealed in December showed that the...
At your conference, I believe,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. That the younger, more affluent, and more educated you are, the less likely you are to agree with the need for a same-sex marriage amendment. And even though Hoosiers are split just about evenly on the same-sex marriage question, there's a much larger majority that opposes enshrining this in the Indiana Constitution. And Senator Tim Lannon, that's the Democratic leader in the Senate, says, you know, 20 years from now, and this is going to be, like as we heard on the roundtable from one of the speakers, this is going to be a civil rights type issue where our grandkids are going to come to us and say, why were we even talking about this? So there is some reluctance to put it in the Constitution.
Where does this end up this session? Does it stay on the shelf since they do have a buffer, if you will, of next session to take this up?
I think that a lot depends upon the will of the Senate majority, the Republicans in the Senate, and they're going to be looking at this in the next week, and they're going to be moving their leader in whatever direction that they want on this.
All right, Ed, we'll be watching and waiting and seeing what happens. Thanks, as always, for your insight. For more information, episode streams, and extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity and Bright House Network. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Lawmakers under News. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Chuanis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media, the state's other public broadcasting stations, and the StateHouseFile.com, I thank you for tuning in and encourage you to join us again next week at the same time. Until then, take care.
What happens when bright ideas meet world-class infrastructure?
You can discover new ways to treat cancer.
Understand our planet. Understand our galaxy.
To learn more, visit PurdueResearchPark.com.